the request was made that we speak a little bit about listening to secular music, whether that could possibly be a positive thing. Is it always a negative thing? Is it an isser of some sort? Is there a difference between secular music depending on what the lyrics are, if there are lyrics, who wrote it, all of these types of issues. So first of all, a little bit of background about music in general and the power of music. There is this very nice book, Through Music and Song, Bishiru Bezimmer, by Rabbi Elisha Sandler from Masifta Teres Yaakov, where he has a chapter on what he believes should be the pure sources of music. And he starts with a quotation from the Piazetzner. The Piazetzner in Hachsharas Ha'avrechim, Os Tess writes, Halo ro'omanu chazanum nagnim gdolim shalibam rochok me'ashem. We sometimes see people who are balei zemer, who sing a lot, but their hearts are very far from Hashem. And he says, Ein emunah ve'ein lev rachmana litzlan. A lot of times you see people singing, and even with Jewish words sometimes, you find that it's not really coming from the purest of sources. In the words of Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, once wrote an article in Tradition, he said that sometimes at weddings he feels like the words are the words of Yaakov, but the beat is the beat of Esav. That you feel like it's not really coming from the purest place, but he writes that music is like simcha. When someone experiences simcha, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that an expression of something positive? So he says it depends who it is. If it's a Russia that's experiencing simcha, so then you should, it's like the mischievous kid that comes in with a smile where you're like, it probably is a simon of something bad. Whereas when a good person expresses simcha, it's probably a simon of something good. So he says music is the same way, that it's an expression of emotion, of some sort of spiritual emotion. It could have positive spiritual energy, or could have negative spiritual energy. Similarly, and therefore, when we tap into that, when we listen to it, we could be connecting to something good or connecting to something bad. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel in Vayashev Hayam, also quoted in this sefer, says that that when we listen to music, we're tapping into the kavanos and the emotions of the composer or the singer. In fact, we find, very interestingly, in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, when they needed to find someone to sing for Shaul HaMelech, they wanted to find a qualified person. So what would you look for to find someone who could play music for Shaul HaMelech? You would want to have a skilled musician. But what does the pasuk say? They wanted Yodan again, you should know how to play music. V'gibor chayil, v'ish mulchama, v'navon davar, v'ish toar, v'ashem imo. You want someone who has a lot of positive attributes, and he should be a godly person. Hashem should be with him. Such a person is someone that you want, that you think his music will have a positive impact. So now let's go through. That's just a little bit of background about how some people look at the spirituality and the possible influence that music could have on a person. People who like music could certainly relate to that very much. So let's go through. Let's go through some of the issues that could come up. So let's start with problems relating to the music, and then we'll move on to issues that might come up with the lyrics of the music. So first, in terms of the music itself, fascinating discussion. Someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Deborah Tzina Rav and Rav Menashe Klein, I assume it was the same Shoel, asked about a certain musician who used to be a very frum guy, and he wrote a lot of nice Jewish music, but he's been doing things that aren't so tenua. I've been playing for mixed audiences and behaving in a way that's not really our cup of tea. So should we listen to his music anymore? Is it a problem to listen to his music? They didn't name him. It's obvious, but they didn't name him. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that he says, what's the issue? Is the issue Shem Rasha'im Yirkav? That you don't want to give a kiyum and a shame to someone who's a Rasha, that the names of the wicked should rot, and that's the same reason we don't name our children after wicked people, because you're supposed to allow the names of the wicked to go away. And in fact, in the Tshuva's Be'er Moshe, in the Kuntras Electric, after Chelek Vav in Be'er Moshe, has a separate section called Kuntras Electric, where he has all the Tshuva's about electricity and technology. So music, I guess, because it's played with a recorder, is electricity and technology. So in Siman Ayin Dalet over there, he says, yeah, that's the problem. Shem Rasha'im Yirkav. He says, not only that, a Sefer Torah that's written by an Apikoros, that's written by a Min, you're supposed to burn the Sefer Torah. He says, but I'll tell you something. This is even worse, because a Sefer Torah that's written by an Adam Kosher, who then becomes a Min, you're allowed to leave that Sefer Torah. You don't burn the Sefer Torah. But music written by an Adam Kosher, who then goes off the path, that you should never listen to, you should never even even bring into your house? Deborah Tzina says, I can't believe anyone's even asking me this question. It's so pashut that it's aser that no one should ever listen to such things. Rav Moshe says, Shem Rasha Mirkov. He says, no, that's a misuse of that term. Shem Rasha Mirkov applies when it comes to something spiritual. So if it's about something spiritual, you don't want to associate a positive spiritual development with the name of a Rasha. Let's say someone who's not a good guy, who's a womanizer, let's say, happens to discover a cure for cancer, so you're not going to call the cure by his name because of Hashem Rasha Mirkov? What does it have to do with spirituality? It's a completely separate accomplishment. So someone's a talented musician, he doesn't think that it's an issue of Hashem Rasha Mirkov. This isn't a Davar Shebekedusha at all. Plus, says Rav Moshe, what's this guy's crime? He's not an apikores. He does things that are not so tsunua. That's different than being an apikores. If he wrote a Sefer Torah, it would be a kosher Sefer Torah, Rav Moshe says. And Rav Moshe says, therefore, if he were an apikores, the music would still be mutter, but a bal nefesh probably should be machmir. Now that he's not an apikores, even for a bal nefesh, no reason to be machmir. So that's in terms of Shem Rasha Mirkov. The other concern is what you find in a lot of the Hasidic Svarim in Likutei Maharan, and you find in a lot of other places in Kabbalistic sources as well, that when a musician writes music, he's giving over a piece of his neshama. So the Likutei Maharan writes, Misha Shomea Negina Mi Menagin Rasha Kashal Olavo Desabore. It's very difficult to serve a Kodesh Baruch when you're listening to music from a Rasha. But when you're Shomea Mi Menagin Kashav Hagun, as I tovlo. But if you're listening to a good, to someone who's a good person, his music, so then it's good for you. So is that really so pashut? And this is when I asked Rav Shechter about secular music. Surprisingly, he told me that this was his concern, that a person gives over their neshama in music, and when you're listening to them, you're taking that neshama, you're taking a piece of that neshama. Do you really want to tap into that neshama, to the neshama of someone who doesn't have the holiest neshama, doesn't have the purest neshama? That could have a negative effect on a person. One could argue that two possible counterclaims to this taina. Rav Avadia doesn't exactly have a tshuva about this. We'll get to what his tshuva is about, but it's yadua that Rav Avadia is much more positively disposed to music that's written by people who don't have the purest neshama, if it's good music. And maybe the claim would go in one of two ways. First of all, even people who aren't pure have moments of purity and do things sometimes that are a mitzvah, do things that are good. Some, let's say, I gave the example to somebody, Cats in the Cradle, Lamashal. Did that come from a bad place in his neshama? A bad guy? Maybe. I think he converted to Islam. I don't know what his story is, but whatever his personal story is, good guy, bad guy. But did that song, do you believe that came from a bad place in a person's neshama? Very, very hard to believe that came from a bad place in a person's neshama. Sometimes people experience moments of kedusha, moments of inspiration that actually come from a good place in their neshama, and you're tapping into whatever good is in their neshama. Also, one could argue that even if it does come from a bad place in the neshama, you're not taking the neshama. You're taking an inspiration. You're taking a sensitivity. You're taking a spirituality. When it's channeled through a bad neshama, it's bad. When it's channeled through a good neshama, like hopefully ours are, it could be very positive, and it could have very positive influence on a person. Rav Mendel Blachman, when I was in Keren B'Yavne, he wouldn't do this with the Keren B'Yavne guys, but once a week he'd go give a shiur in Reshit Yerushalayim, and with the Reshit guys he would always darshan like a different song from Pink Floyd, and he would give a whole shiur. And I don't know what his svara was. Maybe this is part of his svara, that it could be coming from an impure source, but when channeled through our lens, it could become a very, very pure thing. Nafkamina is between the reasons for the problem with the music, whether it's a din or shem rasham yirkov or a din in the neshama, would be what if the person is not a rasha but he's a guy. So you don't want his neshama, but he's not a rasha, so it's not shem rasham yirkov. So that would be, or what if you have music that was anonymously written? So it could be that there's no shem rasha, right? So you're not going to, or you're going to record it in such a way that no one's going to know who it is. It's some esoteric, right? Some far off place that you took the music from. No one's going to know who it is. So you're not promoting the shame of Russia, but the neshama issue may still be a problem. Now that's all assuming just music. What about the words? So first of all, if there are words of Avodah Zarah, if you're dealing with, around December 25th, whenever you turn on the radio and you're hearing words that are just blatant Avodah Zarah, we shouldn't need a shear to say that you shouldn't walk around singing carols, you know, during the holiday season, right? No matter how catchy they are, we shouldn't know from such things. Okay, good. So that's Pashut. When it comes, what about lyrics that are love songs and inappropriate lyrics, whether it be Nivel Peh in the Chazal sense of the word of Nivel Peh, or Nivel Peh in the way we generally use the terminology. Either way, not appropriate. When Chazal talk about Nivel Peh, they talk about sexually explicit material, things like that. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel says, "Ba'avon nivels peh, tsaros rabos gzeros kashos mischachos ubachurei sone yisol mesim yisomim v'almanos tzokin ve'inanin." Really bad things happen when we use nivel peh. The Gemara in Ksuva says, even if a person has shivim shana latova, gzar din of 70 years of good, when he's menavelas piv and yotzi davar maguna mi piv, it's nepach alav the ra'a. All that good, all the gzera for good, turns to bad. It's really bad to speak nivel peh. To sing nivel peh is bad also. And nivel peh, the way Chazal uses it, doesn't mean the five words you're not allowed to say on television. Now it's probably the one word or two words you're not allowed to say on television. It doesn't mean those things. It means speaking about topics that are inappropriate to speak about in a public forum. In Sharatzion, on the bottom of the Mishabura, in Simin Tavkuf Samach Sivkat and Chafei, he says you shouldn't even sing a love song to a baby. Baby doesn't even understand what you're saying. But somehow something wrong is being transmitted there to the even if it's trying to calm the baby down. In Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shari Tshuva Shar Gimelos Reish Chavtes, he says our midas tznius. It's one of our characteristics of the Jewish people. So to sing songs about that involve nivel peh, absolutely terrible. We cannot do any such thing. Not only that, the Bar Tanur in his commentary to the first Mishnah in the 10th parak of Maseches Sanhedrin, when it says that these are the people that ein lehem chelek li'olam haba, people who read Svarim Chitzonim, so he says Svarim Chitzonim include Hakorei Beshirim Shal Agavim V'Divrei Cheshek. It includes people who read love songs, love poems, and he says not only is the problem just the material itself, he says the problem is ein bem chachma v'loto eles eli ibud zman bilvad. It's a pure waste of time. You're not getting anything positive out of it. You're getting only negative out of it. In fact, the Yerushalmi Masechta Sota, when the Mishnah Sota says that they were batel shir min hamishtaos, based on mishtaos, that after the Sanhedrin was gone, we're no longer allowed to sing in the party places, in the bars, the Yerushalmi says because once the Emas Sanhedrin was no longer there, we no longer feared the Sanhedrin, the concern was people were just going to say divrei nevala b'shir. People are going to have inappropriate lyrics. So clearly, if the lyrics are not appropriate, it seems that it's a davar pashut according to everybody that such music should not be listened to, should not be sung, you should have nothing to do with such music. What about setting music to tefillah? You take songs that are clearly originally started with non-Jewish sources, and which most of them probably are. Can you set them to tefillah? Someone once got up in a shul that I was at and started singing Lecha Dodi, the Stairway to Heaven. So is that appropriate? Very nice niggin, Stairway to Heaven. Didn't really work so well, Lecha Dodi, but so is that an appropriate thing to do? So Mishnah Nichnas Adar, to pick a bale of cotton. So everyone sings Mishnah Nichnas Adar. So is that an appropriate thing to do? So Rav Vadia Zechuva and Chelik Vav Simon Zayin in Yabia Omer says if it's an Avodah Zarah song, it's not an appropriate thing to do. If someone asks you for a niggin, don't start singing a carol or something like that. If it's a sheer level Avodah Zarah, you shouldn't do it. Some would say that no, it's a Rav Vadia quotes. Some would say Rav Vadia quotes a ton of marmakomos. Some would say that it's a maila that you're being mekadesh it, that you're uplifting it, that you're raising it up. But okay, with Avodah Zarah you probably shouldn't do it. But with other problems, if it came from sources that are problematic for other reasons, not because of Avodah Zarah, he doesn't see the problem, and it's panam chadashas bo lekan. The music is not makabel tuma, and he doesn't think that it's a problem to use the music. On the other hand, Rav Yaakov Hillel, who disagrees with Rav Vadia about this and many, many, many other things, Rav Yaakov Hillel says that he doesn't believe, first of all, he doesn't believe the stories that great tzaddikim use music from non-kosher sources. He says, I don't believe it. Can't be, it's not true. Ein lismoch lahamin al dvarim elu. Don't believe people who tell you that, and certainly you're not allowed to listen to love songs so that you can come up with a niggin that you're going to be able to use next time you're asked to daven Kabbalah Shabbos. And he says, and if there's imvim yesh eza nekudas emes b'sipurim elu, if there's some kernel of truth in any of these stories,
Hanachlem legedola Yisrael Shehem ayodim vayecholim varashav legvoa eich vehechan umasai lemi mutar adavar.
They could figure it out. We can't figure it out. So we should not. Be involved in that. And then he sort of backtracks a little bit by saying, but those songs that became part of our Mesorah, and everyone uses those nigunim for davening, and it's been decades and decades that everyone's using them, some of them we've been mekadesh them already, and that you could use. I would add that even according to Rav Vadya, it would seem that if it's the kind of song that the second someone starts the nigun, it invokes smirks throughout the entire shul, because everyone's like, oh, stairway to heaven. So that's no good. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't make a mockery out of the davening. Even if you hold that you're going to be mekadesh l'chol or whatever, so you're going to find some Yidden, and you find some song from an Austrian band, you know, that and you're gonna be able to use that, and no one really knows about it till somebody finds it on YouTube and what that guy was doing. But okay, until someone uncovers it, okay, that people still think of as a Jewish song. Then maybe that's one thing. But to take something that everyone recognizes as a non-Jewish source, a non-Jewish song, it seems to be entirely inappropriate. So again, to summarize, when it comes to the source of the music, there seems to be many who say that if it comes from a person with an impure neshama, comes from a neshama of an Eino Yehudi, let's say, also that a person should avoid such music. There is room to argue, I think, but when I asked Rav Schechter, I personally try to be a little more makbid about it. Because I'm not so into music to begin with, so it's not a big deal for me. And B, because Mori V'Rabbi Rav Schechter said so. So even though I personally don't really connect so much to that idea, I don't really see. You know, I do believe that certain songs come from a good place in a person's neshama, but that's what he paskins, so I try to stay away from it. But there's room to argue that point. Problematic words, there's not really much room to argue. Stay away from words, from lyrics that are problematic, which is, from what I understand, the overwhelming majority of the songs that you would find when you turn on the radio. Okay.